Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it today. Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord today, and there's so much good happening in our community and in the hearts of the people. And our scripture lesson today seems rather straightforward. And unlike so many of Jesus' disciples, or of his parables rather, we have his own interpretation of this parable. And Jesus leaves a house where he is staying and goes to the seashore. Sounds like a good thing to do in the summer. We're going to be doing it ourselves in a few weeks. But the crowds that follow him are so large, he can't find a place to stand and talk to them where they can see him and hear him. So he gets into a boat and goes out a short way into the water. And then he teaches them from this floating platform. And they're all there on the shoreline and on the beach. This parable is one of what's called the parables of the kingdom. The parables of the kingdom. There's 13 of these in the book of Matthew. And all these parables are different. And they start by saying the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a treasure buried in a field, or it's like yeast that leavens the dough, or it's like a pearl of great price, or a net that's let down into the ocean. The kingdom is even like a mustard seed. How many of you have ever held or seen a mustard seed? It's a little bitty thing. And yet it grows into a bush. They call it a bush. It looks like a tree. A mustard bush can grow 20 to 30 feet in height and have the same canopy, 20 to 30 feet of canopy. That's a big bush. Today's parable talks about the word and how it is imparted to the people and what happens to that word of truth when it is heard. The parable talks of the word like seeds cast by a farmer, scattering the seed all over the ground. Some falls on the pathway, some falls into the rocky soil, and some falls into the thorny patches. And then, of course, some falls on the good soil. Well, much has been made as to why Jesus used parables so much in his teaching. And I've read somewhere that some thought it was a protective device that allowed him to stay out of trouble longer than if he had spoken more plainly, because much of what he had to say people didn't agree with. Some feel that the parables were designed to appeal to the people Jesus was most concerned about. Therefore, he used images like crops and yeast, fishing nets and seeds, things that the common folk would be familiar with and understand. Author and theologian Barbara Brown Taylor writes, Jesus seems to be saying that these ordinary things have something important to do with God's purpose for them. That these things they handle every day of their lives are vessels of some sort, illustrations of some truth that seems to be clear to them in one moment and then hidden in the next. They are like seeds flung to the four winds, buried treasure in the field that you can't see, but you know is there, nets disappearing into the waves, once again, you know they're there, but you cannot see them. And as I read these words, I stopped and I thought about common everyday things that we're familiar with in our lives and what messages and mysteries might be hidden there. Is it possible that these common things hold divine meaning, divine truths for us as well? Should we be looking for them as we go about our daily lives? I think we might be surprised if we did at what we would discover. And then finally, some believe Jesus spoke in parables to confound the intellectuals, the highly educated keepers of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees. He spoke so that only certain types of listeners could hear him, perhaps those that listened less with their minds and more with their hearts. Because really, the heart is the area where the seed needs to fall. That's where it needs to take root, to find nourishment and light. Well, it's very likely that most of you are familiar with this parable of the sower and how the seed, when it is spread, will fall on the different types of soil. And Jesus explains those types and their meaning in the verses beginning with verse 18. He tells us that the seed that falls on the path and is scooped up by the birds represents the evil one coming to take the word from us. It represents when we hear it, or the listener hears it, and then fails to understand. And I think of all the reasons that Jesus discusses here, this one scares me the most. Because for me anyway, with all the pain and suffering in this world, it seems clear that there are evil forces at work. Ephesians 6:11 and 12 confirms it. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So as God's children, we have spiritual enemies that work to distract us and obstruct us and keep us from growing and maturing in our faith. For me, that's a good motivator to take my faith seriously, to immerse myself in God's word, to pray for spiritual protection, to guard my heart and my mind and try to be more effective against this force that's set against us. The second type of soil is a rocky ground where the seed falls and it grows quickly, but then it fades and dies when it's exposed to the sun and the elements. Jesus says that this is the word received with great joy, but fails to take root, so that when trouble comes along, the hearer falls away quickly. You know, years ago, when I was at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina, I was a member of a company. It was Romeo Company. I know that shocks most of you, right? I'm a man from Romeo. We had a company Bible study in the barracks one night a week, and unlike most events, it was a mix of both upper and lower classmen. And I was a sophomore when I first accepted Christ, and one of my friends invited me along to this study. And there was an upperclassman there, and I knew him pretty well. You see, I knew him as a very hard person, hard-hearted, really. And I remembered the many ways that he had treated me and others cruelly in our freshman year. He was also a new believer, and it amazed me at the change and transformation that had come over him. But as it turned out, his faith didn't remain. It didn't stick with him. He was like that seed that had fallen into the rock. It turned out that his father disapproved of this change in his son and threatened him in some ways. And so the son left his faith. He turned and walked away. He walked away from his newfound belief and from those of us that had encouraged him and learned from him. And I don't know what happened to him, but this made an impression on me. And it taught me that as a young Christian, there were going to be times of persecution and struggle. Perhaps we don't think of that happening in our lives, but it happens. It maybe doesn't fit the definition of some of the persecution we think about, but it happens. And this is one reason I think it is so important for us to worship in community, so that we can support and encourage one another. Yes, we can find God in many places. We can find him in many places outside of church. But to worship as God intended, I think we need to be an active part of a community of believers. The third type of soil is where the seed falls among thorns, where it is choked and cut off. And this is where the word takes hold. But the cares of this world and the lure of wealth and power take us away. They lure us away. I can remember times like this in my life when there were things more important to me than my faith. And I too became separated and cut off. One thing I learned from that time is that sin has a way of snowballing into other parts of your life. Your priorities get all out of whack. And if you have sin in your life, the last place you want to be is sitting in church. It's the last place you want to be. Because I think there's a subconscious fear of being exposed. So we stay away from church and the things of the church for fear of that. And then finally, there is seed that falls on good soil. We hear, we understand, and we bear fruit. And if you've taken the time to be here this morning, I imagine that this is the type of soil that you aspire to be. You want to be productive and valuable. You want to be obedient to God's call on your life and fulfill the purpose to which you were born. Well, perhaps you're now wondering, just what kind of soil am I? Reverend Brown Taylor describes how, for her anyway, at this point, she'd begin worrying about what kind of ground she was. She would worry about how many birds were hanging out in her field, how many rocks or how many thorns, and then she would try to think of ways to clean herself up, to create more room for the rich, prepared soil, so that the richness of God's word would take root more firmly and more abundantly in her own life. She asked herself, what can I do to clean up my act so that I might improve my chances of the seed falling on rich soil? And maybe this is the typical reaction to this parable, a call to kind of take personal inventory and find ways to improve ourselves and our lives. But Barbara Brown Taylor goes on to say that while this may be helpful, it's not entirely accurate. Because if this were so, this parable would be entitled The Parable of the Four Different Kinds of Soil. This parable is entitled The Parable of the Sower. So maybe instead of this being a lesson about us or the condition of our heart, it's a parable about someone or something else entirely. And in our story today, the focus should not be on the soil, but rather on the sower of the seed. Rather than being about us or birds or rocks or thorns, it's about, stand by, the extravagance or the exuberance of the sower who walks about unconcerned about such things, scattering seeds everywhere, wasting it even by throwing it onto the path and into the rocks and throwing with reckless abandon. Because there's no lack of seed. It's an endless supply. And the sower knows that there is enough to go around and to spare. And the only thought is on the resulting harvest. where there'll be enough to be gathered to fill every barn in the county. So rather than focusing on our shortcomings, maybe we should be thanking God for the generosity of the sower, casting the word of truth in every direction, sowing with abandon, laughing as it goes, not worried about the condition of the soil, not trying to judge where to throw the most seed, but just letting it go. And when I think about it this way, it makes me stop and smile, because I envision that in my mind. And really, to be honest, there have been times in my life where my heart was a thorny patch. My life was a hard and cold pile of rocks. And even though this was my condition, the word of truth was with me the whole time, raining down and seeking a place to take root in my heart. Let all those with ears listen. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your generosity, for your bounty, and for your endless supply of your word of truth falling over us regardless of the condition of our hearts. Lord, we pray that some of that seed might fall in ways that we can be bountiful and obedient to you. And forgive us those times when we harden parts of our hearts or allow weeds to choke out that seed. But we know that happens to each one of us. We pray forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us into fields that are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen.